And I want us to look at a text in the 12th chapter of Romans, verse 21. It says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Now that's a pretty big order, and it's a good place to get caught in a trap right there in that verse. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now I'm still working on the same general theme that I have been for a few Sundays. The positive and negative elements in people's lives and how they affect people's lives. We would conclude from the way that this text is stated that evil is a very negative force that needs to be eliminated out of every life and must be eliminated out of every life if we're going to live for God. You can't do much job living for God with any degree of evil in your life. It must be eliminated out of our lives. Now, it's going to be difficult to overcome evil with good if you got a little evil in you. It just won't work. The evil will rise up and take you. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 15th verse, he says, "See that none render evil for evil to any man." Oh, you say, "Yeah, but look what he did to me. Look how he treated me, what he said to me and about me." Well, the scripture says, "See that none render evil for evil to any man." That man that treated you that way, that man that said those things to you and about you, don't render evil to him either. Now, in the 12th chapter of Romans and verse 17, he says, "Recompense to no man." No man. Evil for evil. You can't overcome evil by returning evil. But you can overcome evil by returning good for evil. God does not permit you and me to manifest evil to any person. Not even to evil men. Not even to men who are evilly affected toward us. Not even to people who blacken our name, we're not to return any evil to them. But we are to return good for evil. Good is a positive force, and good is powerful enough to overcome evil if we'll use it. If we'll just apply it, we can come out on top of everything every time if we'll just follow that which is good, both among ourselves and to all men. That's what the scripture says for you and me to do, is to follow that which is good among ourselves and all men. Overcome evil with good. In the 12th chapter of Romans, in verse 19, He said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves." Now, when we go to slugging it out with our adversary, we're executing vengeance. We're not to do that. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Just let the wrath go on. Give place for it. But it's written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," saith the Lord. And I will say this at this point, that the Lord is not repaying many folks today because we're slugging it out with them. And we're returning them just as good as they sinned. And our attitude is such that if we see the Lord's hand on them and he's executing some vengeance, we just take pleasure in it. We rejoice in it. We say, they're just getting what's coming to them. I knew something would happen to them folks somewhere along the line. I'm kind of delighted in it. And he said in the Proverbs that because of this, the Lord lift his hand. The Lord could straighten out a lot of things. And along with it, a lot of people. If we just keep our hands off and our attitudes off and everything, let everything alone and let God run his business. He says, "Vengeance is mine, I'll repay," but we don't have faith enough to believe that sometimes. We feel like, "I've got to do something here. I've got to undertake something here to straighten out this thing." Now, we can slug it out with our adversary. Just stand up there toe-to-toe with him and slug it out with him. And take our own part and defend our own selves and give slap for slap. You know, Jesus told us, if they slap you in the face, turn the other cheek. But instead of that, we can give slap for slap if we want to. Blow for blow, stripe for stripe, wound for wound, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, slander for slander, reviling for reviling. We can do all that. The law allowed that. It was permissible back under the law, but folks, it isn't under grace. That isn't the way we do things under grace. That isn't the way that Jesus taught you. But while we're slugging it out, and while we're justifying ourselves in slugging it out, and in giving reviling for reviling and slander for slander, let us keep in mind the faithful and the solemn warning of God's word in Galatians, the 5th chapter and verse 15. "If ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." Now, folks, that's just exactly what people are doing when they enter into this kind of a thing. Returning evil for evil. Why did you get so upset when somebody said something about you? Well, that is evil, wasn't it? Well, isn't it just as evil for you to turn around and say something about them? That's just as evil as for them to say something about you, isn't it? Returning evil for evil. People are either destroying themselves or one another. That's the way it's going to wind up. if ye bite and devour one another. Take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Folks, there's something here to watch. There's something here to take heed to. There is absolutely no kind of a way for anybody to win in this kind of a game. Everybody loses. When we go to slugging it out and returning evil for evil, it's just as evil for you to return the remarks that somebody made to you as for them to give it to you. That's returning evil for evil. Sometimes, and I've seen this, maybe you have too. I hope we don't ever see it anymore. But I have seen it, and I've seen some of the havoc of it. People set out. They launch a real campaign to kill somebody. You didn't know people did that way, did you? I've seen people do that way. You launch a real campaign to kill somebody. Destroy their reputation and kill their influence. Maybe they succeed in doing it. I've seen that. I've seen good men put down and their influence ruined by wild rumors that people gathered up about them. And their work and service for God become ineffectual. I've seen that. I wish I hadn't. But I have. Well, then, people kind of throw their shoulders back and their head up and say, I put him in his place. I trimmed him down to size. Kind of boast and gloat a little bit about their success in their campaign to kill somebody, but what they're not recognizing is that by the time they get that fella killed, they're dead too. People don't recognize that. They rather think they've gained a point. They rather think they've held their ground. That they've gone somewhere and put somebody in their place. But they're dead too. The reason? Because the whole thing, from start to finish, is contrary to God's will and it's anti-scriptural. It's against God's word. And I say that there cannot ever be a good, right, sweet attitude back of a thing like that. That kind of a campaign. People destroy themselves. That's the way evil works. It's a negative influence. It's a destructive element in people's lives. In any place, in any time, and to whatever extent we give any place to it, we are damaging our own lives. Follow it through, you'll destroy yourself. It's a negative thing. It's destructive. Now, I'm not saying here that it is not permissible for you to defend yourself against false rumors and flying reports. But what I am saying is that you can explain what happened and how it happened without saying anything disparaging or downgrading about the other party. You can just say, well, this didn't happen just this way. And I'll tell you how it did happen. And I'll explain this situation to you. But you don't have to say a railing thing about the party, the other party. To downgrade them because they downgraded you, to slander them because they slandered you, to revile them because they reviled you, is to be overcome with evil. It'll work to our destruction. I one time was accused of calling a person a liar. Well, I didn't launch into a campaign on that thing, but I said, now there's some mistake here somewhere. There's something just not right about this, because I said, I don't talk that way. I don't remember I ever called anybody a liar in 45 years or more. And when reports come to me that I know are false, you don't ever hear me say that's a lie. That's a bad word to me. I don't talk that way, folks. That's not very good saint language. And if you do that, you never learned it from me. I just don't talk that way. I do tell people sometimes, well now, here I think there's gotten some mistake mixed in there somewhere or other. That thing wasn't just that way. But to call a person a liar, that's a bad word to me. And I just don't talk that way. But I can endeavor to clear up the blotch on my name by telling what happened and how it happened without even mentioning anybody else, maybe. God doesn't permit you and me to downgrade other folks because they downgrade us. They did it that way back under the law, but not under grace. It's no part of our living today. It's a negative force that is destructive to our spiritual life. In Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, in verse 12, he says, beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. You see how this thing works? It'll lead you away from God. Not just what I've been saying, but other categories of evil will lead you away from God. Maybe we think of evil as drinking and gambling and whoremongering and honky-tonking and different things. The world's evil. But here he says unbelief's evil. Beware lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. I heard Brother Chandler say one time in one of his messages, he says, people say to me sometimes, Brother Chandler, do you think it's a sin for people to take medicine? His answer was, it's a sin to doubt God. An evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Folks, every trace of unbelief, from its very minutest form of just doubting some of the promises of God, clear on up to even declaring that there is no God, all the way along the line, it's evil from its very roots up. And it'll destroy us. Jesus taught us, be not of a doubtful mind. Oh, I pray for you and me, myself and my brethren, that God will blot out our doubtful thoughts and give us believing hearts, believing minds, realizing that the least trace of unbelief or doubt, it's an evil influence and force in our lives, and if allowed to continue on, it'll produce our destruction. Unbelief's evil. We have another classification of evil, the 4th chapter of James, verse 16. Now the verses leading up to this lay a foundation or background for this statement. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow. What is your life? It's just as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we'll live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. It's evil for you and me if we just go ahead and make our own plans and announce our own activities and this is going to be it and that's going to be it without considering the will of God. That's evil. Sometimes we do a lot of talk about what we think we're going to do, the things that we anticipate, and maybe boast some about them, but he said that's evil. Every one of us need to consider the will of God in our plans more than what we do. We need to consider the will of God in our lives, in its various areas and activities, more than what we do many times. For us to just say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and leave the Lord out of that statement, that's evil. Be not overcome of evil. What does that mean? It means evil can overcome you. Evil can whip you, evil can destroy you, and you don't have to be a drunkard or a thief or a gambler or a whoremonger for it to do it. You can just be doubtful. Some folks that I know, and I know by their first name, have just doubted away their salvation. Their doubts destroyed them. Doubtful thoughts. You pin them right down and you ask them pointedly, what sin have you committed? What have you done? I don't know a thing, but they just doubted. Doubted it away. Evil. A lot of evil around that we don't call evil sometimes. But to be of a doubtful mind is evil, and it'll destroy you. And while it's in the process of destroying you, it'll rob you of a lot of blessings and and benefits that you could be receiving all the time along the way. Now he says, Matthew the 6th chapter and verse 23, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body will be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Now here, he sets an evil eye over against a single eye. The eye is our agency of vision. And he's talking about our vision. The vision of our soul. Spiritual vision. You've heard remarks like this among the saints, because it's a common remark among us. An eye single to the glory of God. You've heard that, haven't you? Well, what does that mean? That means I'm just looking for the glory of God. And I'm looking for everything that I do and say, whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking at that. Single eye. Not allowing any other thing to come in on our vision, to mar our vision of the will of God in doing that. Now, an evil eye is set over against that which would signify a divided eye, divided purpose, divided vision, looking toward heaven and toward earth too, desiring God, but desiring our own way too. About the greatest roadblock or obstacle to discerning the will of God is having your own will up there to contend with. And about the greatest difficulty that people encounter in discovering the way of God is because I've got a way and it's up here. I've got to deal with it. An evil eye, looking to God's will and my will too. God's way and my way. Heaven and earth. Spiritual blessings, physical and material blessings. Divided eye. He says that's evil. The verses here that led up to this statement was where Jesus taught us, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And he follows this by saying, no man can serve two masters. But we try it sometimes, don't we? People try to serve two masters. People try to walk a center line. People try to hang on to the fence. Have as much of the world to go along with me as I can in order to and still have God go with me. Divided eye. That's evil. He didn't think about that being evil, maybe. Maybe he didn't know it was. But it's evil. Jesus said it was evil. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot live for heaven and earth too. You cannot by any means persuade God to go in partnership with you. and you carrying out your will and having your way, and him having his way too. And he'll not have his way part of the time, and you have your way part of the time. He'll not go in partnership like that. That's evil. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Ye cannot serve two masters. And I've come to this conclusion that when Jesus said you can't do a thing, you just, well, quit trying to do it. He has all power in heaven and in earth, but he said he can't do this. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Jesus taught us in the 5th chapter of Matthew in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Good works. Your good life. Your good living. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Peter told us, 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they may speak against you falsely as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, what does that mean? God's going to visit them folks. Sometime or other, God's going to visit everybody. Every man, woman, and child, God's going to visit them. And if they have been seeing your good life, good works, your light's been shining out, you've been manifesting Christ to them, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of meekness and gentleness, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of self-denial, the Spirit of self-service. You've been manifesting all of that. It's going to have an effect in that day that God visits them and His conviction rests upon their heart. They can point right back. I know somebody like that. Somebody living this way and enjoying it. Having grace. Having joy. Having victory. And it'll have its effect. He said that they may glorify God because of the good works they've been seeing in you in His day of visitation when He visits them. And makes a call to them. They'll be more likely to respond if they've been seeing you and me just manifesting Christ, living victorious lives, high above this world's confusion, walking close by Jesus' side. They've been seeing that in us. It'll have its effect in that day that God visits them. Now it becomes certain from our little text this morning that good can win over evil. But let us not overlook this. One of them is going to win. And if good doesn't overcome evil, evil's going to overcome good. And it's up to you and me, by the grace of God, to see to it that in our corner where we are, that good is triumphing and overcoming evil. Amen.